this morning. So thank you, Jesus, for touching me this morning. All right, y'all be seated. And I think Randy can actually have a Sunday school children's church this morning because we've actually got some kids in the house. Hallelujah. So children, if you'll be dismissed after you bring your offering. Hey, Hudson. Be fine in the book of 1 Peter with me this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. Man. Yes. See by the title, what is your faith in? Faith measures everything in our life. And we all believe in something. Maybe it's God. Maybe it's science. Maybe it's yourself. Maybe it's your money, your job, your skills, your abilities. But we all believe in something. And faith is a big part of shaping our decisions and shaping our actions. Because we all are living by some code of something. So I want to talk about where our faith as Christians should be and where it shouldn't be. Gordon did an incredible job. I want to brag on Gordon. He taught Sunday school this morning. Bill's out of town. So Gordon stepped up and did an incredible job teaching. I'm very proud of him. And he will be caught up on more now that he's proven he can do it. So get ready. But I really enjoyed his teaching. And he talked a little bit about that, about faith. And about, you know, where our faith's at, what our faith's in. And, you know, our faith, for many of us, is shaped by what we hear in the world, right? I mean, man, we pass that information on like wildfire. Did you hear what the news said? Did you hear the latest Fox News alert? Did you hear the CNN headline? Did you hear about Tom Brady? I don't care about Tom Brady. I don't like Tom Brady. He's married to a model. He's a good-looking guy, and he's a millionaire. I don't like him. So anyway, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? And our faith sometimes is built upon the things that we hear. And Gordon was talking this morning, which is right on spot, that our nose and our eyes and our ears need to be in this, right? This is our truth. This is our banner. This is our flag that we wave. This is where our allegiance belongs to, the Word of God. And this is where our faith should be in. We serve a God who made so much space, there's no end to it. You ever watch Star Trek? They keep on finding different creations. It's incredible. I know that's false. I know that. But who knows? I'm not the one that doesn't believe there couldn't be life somewhere else. There's a pretty big universe out there. Who knows? All I know is God made a lot of cool planets and stars and galaxies. And science has proven that we are not the only galaxy, right? There are millions and other galaxies in this universe that God created. God created everything around that we see. So our faith is in the one who holds it all in his hands. Our faith in the one who goes before me, who stands behind me. My faith in the one who called me by name. My faith in the one, as he read in Psalms 121, where does my help come from? It don't come from Capitol Hill. It don't come from Raleigh. It don't come from anywhere else. My help cometh from the Lord. He shall supply all of your needs according to his riches, not their riches, not my riches, but his riches. And that's who I trust. I trust the God who can heal my body, who can fill my pocket, who can keep my mind sound, who can keep sickness and disease away from me. That's who I trust, no matter what. Faith is hard. Me and Ashley talked about this yesterday, or we talked about it a couple times. Faith is hard. Right? Because faith has to be walked out apart from feeling. And that's what's hard. Because we want to feel God in everything. Sometimes we don't feel God. Sometimes we don't hear God the way we want to. Sometimes we don't see God working in our lives. But by faith, I know that he is. I trust by faith. I don't always see my wife. I don't know where my wife is at. But I know she's not at my neighbor's house doing something she shouldn't be doing. I got faith she's not, well, one thing, we ain't got no neighbors, but I know she's not there. I'm not sitting there wondering throughout the day, I wonder what my wife's doing, I wonder who she's with, I wonder what she's saying, I wonder what she's doing, I wonder what, look, I don't care. She's out of my hair, I'm out of her hair, we cool. I got faith, right? I got faith. I don't have to see her to trust her. When it comes to God, he has already shown me more than enough to believe in him. Remember what the Bible says in Romans, that he made all this. Why do we have all the creation we have? Why do we have all the weird, unique animals? Why do we have all the bugs and insects, the jungles, the deserts, the mountains, the beaches, the seas? Why do we have, you know, the universe, space? Why do we have meadows and plains and, you know, all canyons and all these things that God created? Why do we have a blackbird, bluebird, brown bird, red bird, purple bird, yellow bird? Why we got all those things? We got animals with a shell on their back. We got animals that crawl with no legs. We got animals with 1,000 legs. We got tigers, bears. We got everything. God created all of this creation. You know why? Romans tells us why. So that though there will be no excuse for humanity not to recognize and acknowledge there is a God. All you got to do is look around and know there's something in place that's pretty perfect to create all that we have. And that's what I believe in. If the Bible says he'll take care of the fowls of the air who don't slumber, who don't sow nor reap, right? God just takes care of them. I've been to church before where there's been a storm come through, and I look out my back window of my office when the sun comes out, and there was one day I counted 5 or 6 different animals in our backyard, and they were out getting food. I saw a rabbit. I saw a squirrel. I saw crows. I saw other birds, and they're all out in that backyard after the rain, and they're all in the ground. I don't know what they're eating. I don't want to know what they're eating. I just know God is providing something for them. If God can take care of those birds, I know I say this, but sometimes we need to hear it over and over. I want you to think about this. The bear knows to hibernate, right? The bear goes hibernates. That's a true story. It's not just a Yogi Bear story. It's a real story. Bears truly go into hibernation certain months of the year. How does the bear don't get no text? Hibernate now, G-O-D. Hey, boo-boo, let's go hibernate. Don't say that. How does the bear know when it's time? He's not watching the Weather Channel. He just knows. Because of the command and authority of God who created that bear to know it's time. How does the snake know? And I know y'all love snakes. Speaking of snakes, I know y'all love snakes. And how does a snake know when to come back out for the spring? Sticks a little head out and tests the waters. It just knows it's time to come out and shed its old skin. It knows that. Why do we place faith in anything else but him? God is beautiful. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. We're talking about what's your faith in. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober. That means be alert, be awake, be aware. We have to be very careful. Gordon touched on this morning a little bit, how that we have to be very careful because we are being deceived all around us. There's deception all around us, right? And here's the danger of deception. Deception has an appearance of truth, but it's a lie. It looks a lot like the real thing, but it's a lie. If I, from this distance, in front of Christian and Sierra, had a wax apple, a fake wax apple, and a really shiny real apple, and had one in each hand, it would be hard for them to tell from there probably which one was real. One's completely fake. One is really good and real. The devil does this. So he brings voices into our minds and our lives, and he brings things to our heart that may appear as truth, but it has a deception attached to it. So we have to guard our minds and be awake and be alert and be sound-minded to hear the voice of God. As my daughter said yesterday, my other daughter, the one I have with Melanie, I have to say, you know, she says, let the voice of God be louder than the voice of the devil. So many times, man, the devil's voice is the one we hear. It's whispering all this stuff to us, and we're biting it like a bass on a hook, right? And then God tries to speak to us. Here's what we say. Well, that's probably just me thinking that. That's not God. It's just the way I probably feel. That's probably not God's voice. It's just probably myself thinking that's God's voice. If you're arguing that much to yourself, guess what it is? It's God's voice. Because you got to argue to yourself that much, something's happening inside of you that's real. Gird up your mind. Guard it. Be sober and hope to the end. Stay the course, church. For the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ.
as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, not being transformed by the world. You know better now. We're now children of light. We don't walk in darkness no more. We know the truth. And it's that truth, as Gordon read this morning, it's that truth that sets us free. It's the truth. When you know truth, you are a free person. You're not bound to what the devil presents to you. You're not bound by what somebody says to you. You're not bound by condemnation. You're not bound by fear. You're not bound by depression. You're not bound by anything. When you've been set free, you can walk as a free person. I got the peace of God. I've got the joy of God. I've got the power of God. I've got the strength of God. I've got the anointing of God. I've got the presence of God everywhere I go because I'm free. I'm not shackled to what I used to be. I'm not shackled to what the devil says I'm going to be. I'm not shackled anything he brings in my life. Every chain was broken when the revelation of Jesus Christ came into my life and I realized I am a child of the living God. Good, bad, and ugly, I'm a child of the living God. I am sanctified and set apart for his purpose and his plan. That's our faith in God, and that's what we need to hang on to in the time that we're in, because I know fear is trying to cancel out our faith. As you which have been called holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. This word holy does not mean we walk around like this. Bless you, my child. Peace to you, my child. I shan't strike you. I shan't raise my voice. For I am full of the love and the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. And I love you very much. That's not holy. Look up the word holy. It means set apart from sin. Set apart for the purpose of God. That's what holy means. It means I made a decision. Lord, I want to follow you and not follow that. I want to listen to you and not listen to that. You set me apart for your purpose and for your plan. The devil no longer has the power. He no longer has the voice I'm listening to. He no longer has the influence of my life. I'm trusting you, God. You have set me apart. Verse 17. Let's get to verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Remember what Hebrews says, that the priest would go to the altar and they would make daily sacrifices, right? Weekly sacrifices, yearly, whatever the occasion was. And it says they would make all these daily sacrifices, but it never did what? Never took away sin. It was a ritual, but it never took away sin. Gordon's sins couldn't be forgiven because a priest sacrificed an animal. Gordon's sins can be forgiven because a priest said a prayer. Gordon's sins cannot be forgiven through traditional ceremonies. The only way Gordon's sins is forgiven is through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And so tradition of men, redemption can't be bought with a prayer. It can't be bought with an offering, which we hope you give a good one today. But it can't be bought with an offering. It can't be bought with fasting, which is a part of our walk too. It can't be bought with works or good deeds. It can't be bought with how we live our lives. It is bought one way, through the sacrifice, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, who was God in the flesh to take away the sin of the world. So we are redeemed supernaturally. Not with anything we can do here, but because of what he did there. And it says that in verse 19. We're not redeemed with gold and silver, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Let me talk about this just a minute because some people get confused about this. What made Jesus the perfect sacrifice? He was a man. He was born as a man in the earth. He was born. He had a birth record. He weighed so much. He was so long. He had such similar eyes or hair. A doctor hit him on the back, made him cry, all that, right? He was born as a man, a little boy. But what made Jesus the perfect sacrifice was he wasn't born with the seed of man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He bypassed the sinful nature of man. That's what makes him perfect. That's what separates Jesus and makes him able to be the perfect sacrifice. He wasn't contaminated. No matter what a good guy Joseph was, he might have been a holy, righteous dude, right? But he still was in sin. He was born in sin. Mary must have been an awful virtuous woman for God to choose her to carry the face of Jesus. But Mary was born in sin as well. But the seed of man did not come into Mary. The seed of God came into Mary. And it made him the perfect sacrifice. I want to clarify that for someone that may wonder that. That's what made Jesus the perfect sacrifice. He did not come through the seed of man. Look at verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He's always been. I know that blows our minds. But he was manifest in these last times for you. Jesus came right on time. He came at a certain period of time to redeem mankind. This verse 21 is really, I want to really focus on this for a minute. Whom by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and your hope might be in God. Your faith and hope is not on what you hear, because man, you can't believe half of what you hear. You ever see some of these news stories? I mean, it's ridiculous. Walmart in Mooresville's on fire and half the people are dead. And then the real story is, oh, smoke alarm when I smoke in the bathroom. I mean, that's how it happens sometimes. It's like, what? We love headlines, don't we? And man, the badder, the juicier we like, the more we like them. Oh, why do we get so excited for bad news, right? Oh, and we smile when we tell it. Did you hear about the Walmart catching on fire? Why are you smiling? Because Walmart. We just love it. We love the bad stuff. And we place our faith in what we can see with our abilities. Well, I hear people say, I just can't believe in something I can't see. Look around, man. Open your eyeballs and look around. How much more God got to do before you see him? Well, yeah, that moon just got there. You know, how'd it get there? I don't think how cool God is, right? I've been living for a couple decades. And you know what? That sun, it always is daylight. There's never been a morning, thank God I got Twilight Zone I watched, it was horrible. There's never been a morning where the sun didn't rise. There's never been a morning I woke up at 8 or 9 or 10 or what, I don't sleep that late, you know what I'm saying. You get up and the sun is still dark outside. Never. Went to Alaska, yeah, but that's because God made it that way. Smarty pants. God made it that way. And so the sun is always there. God gave us a light by day and a light by night. And you know what? That moon is so beautiful. And that moon, y'all all know this, the moon has no light. It's a dark rock, right? What makes the moon shine is the sun shining on it. And I think about that moon at night, the sun in the day, the stars that you can't count, the grains of sand. And I am a nerd and I have done this. Melanie knows this. I picked up sand one time at the beach in my palm of my hand, spread it out, and try to count grains. You can't do it. You ever tried that? Okay, thanks. One person. You can't count them. You know, I'm on my porch. I hear all the birds chirping. I see creation in action. You see the clouds that make shape. God's so cool. He makes clouds like shapes, right? We've all done that. You've all done that, right? Looked at clouds and seen them make shapes. That's like a dog or a cat. Or that is like, you know, Mickey Mouse ear or whatever you see. You know, it looks like something. God did that. God, my hope and my faith is in the one that did that. Do you know right now our world is spinning at a pretty rapid rate? I don't know the exact miles an hour, but we are rotating right now. We are moving. Isn't it amazing when you get vertigo how everything's spinning? But we're spinning a lot faster and don't even know we're moving. You know, and I've said this before. I know it's so stupid. I just think about this. I still am trying to picture how this works. On Antarctica, right, at the bottom of the earth, how they don't fall off. I mean, Antarctica's the bottom of the globe. I think about things like that. The world is at an axis. Sorry, Dean. And it's turning. Dean is like, I came to this church. Okay. It's turning. I don't have no PhD, darling. You know that. It is spinning and rotating. And there are seasons. Isn't it amazing how there are seasons? I've lived in North Carolina my whole life. Born and raised here in the Tar Heel State. Born and raised. I bleed Carolina blue. I'm in the tobacco state, southern North Carolina, Tar Heel Nation my whole life. I was born here. And every year I've been alive, we've had a winter, we've had a spring, we've had a summer, we've had a fall.
It's amazing how those seasons automatically change. It's hot right now, but wait about October. We'll start getting those cooler days, right? Then November gets a little bit colder. December, January, February, we're freezing. Then March, something happens. You got to start mowing the grass again in March, right? It starts growing. Flowers start blooming. Yes. And the cry of a child, man. If you don't know, that's God in that, to hear a child's voice. God made that baby. I mean, we know Dave Niles has something to do with it too. But God's hand is what made that baby. I mean, that little girl came from the breath of God. God had to breathe life upon the womb of Allison to create that child. I think my faith, I'll trust that God is bigger than what I'm facing. We have a lot of people right now that are going through a lot of things. They're broken. They're afraid. They're frustrated. They're angry. They're fearful. When our faith in God, it's like Gord said this morning. I said this actually last week too. I talked about this, that a lot of people know about God but don't know who God is. And I use the example of Michael Jordan, right? I know all about Michael Jordan. I've read his history. I've watched clips about him. I know the number. You know, I know kind of North Carolina. I know he won 82 championship in North Carolina. I know he went to the Bulls. I know he retired for a year and a half, won two, three peats back to space, three-peat and then three-peat again. You know, I know a lot about Michael Jordan because I follow him growing up. But I don't know him. Like I said, Wednesday night, I could call Michael Jordan up right now. Hey, Mike, this is James. James Lewis, man. I've read all about you. I watched all your games. I got your basketball cards. I watched you hit that shot for Carolina that won the game. I still remember where he was. He was over in this corner right here. Remember seeing that shot? I watched it live. I remember. You don't remember me, Michael? No. See, I don't know him. And sometimes with God, we're like that. Oh, I know about God. Yeah, he made heaven and earth, Noah's Ark, Adam and Eve, you know, lion's den, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, I know about it. You know, David and John. I know God. But you don't know him, like Gordon said. You don't know him. The more you know God, the more you trust God. Because the more you know God, the more you see who God is. And God is my way maker, right? God is the promise keeper. God is my light in the darkness. God is my healer. He is my redeemer. He is my provider. He is my way. God is everything to me. I've got to know who he is before I can trust him. So if you are having a hard time placing your faith in a God you can't see, get in his word and find out who he is. And all of a sudden, your eyes will be open and you will recognize, this is what's missing in my life. This is the void. This is the emptiness. This is the thing that I need most, is faith in something beyond my abilities and what I can see in my natural state. Because we are limited in our natural state. Our vision is limited to what we see in front of us. And our faith cannot be limited like that. Our faith cannot be based on what we see in front of us. When Barbara got her diagnosis, if her faith had been in what she saw in front of her, she would not be where she is now. If her faith was limited to what the doctor said, and she said, okay, well, this is what the doctor said, I guess it is what it is, and not give God a chance, and not trust God's word over the doctor's word, and not trust that her Savior had healing in his hands, to trust that her God was bigger than cancer, that her God was bigger than fear, that her God was bigger than hopelessness. Oh, my Lord, her faith from the very beginning was in that. Her faith was, she was, at the very beginning I went to visit her, she was praising God and giving out faith and praying in the Spirit and saying, it's going to be okay, and I know God's got this, and I know I'm going to be all right. You know why? Because Barbara don't just know about God. Barbara knows who the great I Am is right now. Hallelujah. She knows him, and she knows him by name. When she talks to God, God knows her too. When she talks to God, whatever language she's praying in, God knows who's on the other end. There ain't no doubt. And I'm sure God has heard from Barbara's phone a lot lately. It's like that old 80s song, 8735429, whatever that is. That old song, right? Here's Barbara, 8760713, 8760713. And she's like, oh, it's Barbara again. Oh, but you know the great thing about God? He doesn't shut us down. He doesn't cut us off. He is there every time we talk to him.
He is listening every time we praise him. His ears are open every time we call his name. Because Gordon read it right this morning. I serve a God who doesn't slumber. Do you know what slumber means? It means sleep. I've got a God who is never asleep. He is awake all the time. He is alert all the time. He's at attention all the time, waiting to move in your life. That's where my faith is at. My faith and my hope, I choose to be in that. I want to encourage you. And I want to thank the church for the ones of you that are coming week in and week out to be here to keep Living Word moving forward. I really mean that. There are many churches that are not meeting still at all inside right now. I talked to many, Pat, they're not meeting. And I am thankful for you that are coming by faith to keep moving forward, choosing to trust God above that. Because that can be scary. I get it. Here's what happens with fear. We've all been here, right? You find a spot on your hand. You start Googling, right? Brown spot on left hand behind third knuckle. Part brown, part red. What could it be? And we scare ourselves to death. And you go to the doctor, and here's what he says. Oh, just an age spot. Oh, okay. Whew. Or it's a bug bite. But we freak ourselves out because here's what fear does. Fear takes a mole and makes it a mountain, right? Fear takes something that may be nothing and magnifies it to be everything. But when our faith in God and we magnify him, like David magnified him before Goliath, and like Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego magnified him before the king, and like Daniel magnified him before his king, and like Joseph magnified him in a prison cell, when we magnify God and we lift God up, all of a sudden, everything becomes smaller than God. Not everything becomes bigger than God. That's what faith does. That's the difference in walking in faith and walking by sight. Because we don't know what's going to happen in our country the rest of the year. 2020, let's just say, is one that we can kind of just write off, right? Get a tax deduction. Let's just write this one off. We are praying for 2021 hard. And so we don't know what the next few months will have. We don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the next thing is going to be to come out. We don't know what the next news story is going to break. We don't know what's going to happen. But I choose to place my faith. Think about this. Remember the days of Egypt when Moses was leading the children out and they had the 10 plagues? We've not had 10 plagues yet, right? We've had one plague. Think about this. 10 different plagues hit the people. One after the other, after the other, after the other. But God was in the midst of all of that. And all of that was part of a plan of God. See, going through it, they didn't know that. Going through it, why we got these frogs? Why we got these, you know, lice? Why we got these, all this other stuff? You know, why is all this happening? Why is all the water turning to blood? I mean, what's going? But see, God had a purpose, because in the end of those plagues, what happened? Deliverance, salvation, promised land. God's got a plan and a purpose. So as we're going through our struggles, as we're going through the crises of our world and our nation, my faith is still in him. As Melanie says, I serve the King, and the King knows me by name. Michael Jordan don't know who I am, but King Jesus sure does. And when I call on King Jesus, he remembers me. Lord, you remember me? Oh, yeah, I remember you. Yeah, I remember you. I remember you, little 8-year-old boy. You came to that altar, that tent revival, and gave your heart to me. I remember you. You got baptized that same week. I remember that. 1980, I remember that. I remember when you got married, married that beautiful bride of yours called Melanie, which I kept all of your life for you and brought her to you at the appointed time. And you got married at that altar in 1992, April 18th. You've been married 28 years. I know all about you. I know every hair on your head. I know both of them. I know everything that's about you, James. I know. I remember you got that first job at Food Line. You were 16 years old. And you went in and got interviewed by Robert Murdoch, made $4 an hour as a bag boy. And I remember all that. Then you went to Walmart and Moore's, opened that door for you, and you were a co-manager 5 years. I remember that part of you. And then I remember as you were on a school bus, little Jamie, and you went by this land all them years in North Iredale, going back and forth to school or going in Bill's truck, that yellow truck that was horrible, and the school bus would pass on interstate. Another story. Anyway, as you went by this land, I already knew this land was set aside for this purpose. Oh, I know you, James. I've known you from the day you were born at the old Davis Hospital, 8.2 pounds, wherever I was, that little boy. I remember. I remember the day I brought you to the earth and I breathed breath into your body. I remember the 8 months you were in an oxygen tent fighting for your life, but yet I saved you. I remember that. I remember the time you were in a road because mom turned her back for a minute or was distracted, and you got into the road as you heard horns blow, and you're standing there almost hit by a car, but I saved your life. I remember that. I remember all the struggles you had, James. I remember all the times in school. I remember all the temptations. I remember all the failures and all the victories. I remember that you taught those teens at your old church at 16, and those teens were hearing the word of God from your mouth that I raised up. I remember you, Jamie. Oh, I remember. I remember giving you those three kids, Jamie, Ashley, and Christian. I remember the day they were born because I remember you and I know who you are. That's the God we serve. He knows every detail of our life. He knows who you are and he cares. And I trust God because God, let's just say this. Let's say it just plain. God knows all my itty gritty. God knows all my ins and outs. God knows all my filthy rags. God knows every dark, deep, bad spot of my life. And yet he loves me. I think I'll trust him. I think I'll follow him. Whenever he has guaranteed me eternal life, everlasting life. Because when I look in the mirror, I don't always see the image I want to see. But God sees an image that he wants to see. Because when he looks at me, he sees a redeemed, not by money, but by his own precious blood. He sees a redeemed, reconciled child of God. I see ashes. He sees beauty. That's my God. That's who I serve. And my faith will be in that, no matter what comes my way. We don't know what's going to happen the next few months. We don't know if things will get worse, get better. We don't know what's going to come across the pike. We don't know. But church, I want to encourage you to get into the good news. Get into this and trust the Lord. And walk by faith and not by sight. I have seen many Christians, I've been surprised, Christian friends of mine, people I know, that are walking in so much fear and they've collapsed under the pressure of fear. Man, who you serve? I mean, come on, who do you serve? If you can't trust God when it's bad, there's no faith to trust him when it's good. There is no faith. If it's easier to praise God when things are right than when things are wrong. But it's in the wrong times we lift our hands from our ashes and say, you're still God, and I know you can pull me out of this miry pit and set my feet back on a rock. God, I trust you. Joseph spent over 2 years in prison being an innocent man. For doing the right thing, he was sentenced. For doing the right moral thing, he was thrown into a dungeon cell for 2 years. The very one God gave dreams to, the one that had the many coat of colors, the one that was his dad's favorite, the one that was going to do mighty things, finds himself in a prison dungeon cell. Doesn't seem fair, but there was a purpose and there was a reason. And after 2 years, he went from being a convicted felon to being the second in command of a nation. And his whole family was set free and given a place to live because God was involved. God can change your circumstance in a second. I choose to live my life by faith and not by fear. Because if you're living your life in fear, you're not living your life at all. Let's skip to verse, a couple more verses. I want to finish up. 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God. We're born again through the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. See, the COVID-19 will not always be here. Not as far as in the sense of eternity. It may be in the earth as long as we live, but it won't be in eternity. Poverty, discouragements, anxieties, worries, sickness and disease will not be forever. But God's word is. It is forever. I think about being a lot with his diagnosis he got years ago and how he battles that and has to face that every day. But that's not eternal. That's not going to be forever. It's for now. And God can heal him any moment. We know that. But if Ben battles that until he sees Jesus, guess what happens when he sees Jesus? It'll be gone. Because the word of God goes on forever. The word of God's more powerful than anything presently we're facing. All the things we're presently facing will pass away. All of them. All of them will pass away. Every person will pass away unless the Lord returns. Every government will pass away. Every leader will pass away. We can't take none of our money with us. All that stays behind. All of our nice clothes stay behind. Our cars, our home, all of that stays behind. But the thing that goes on forever is the Word of God. And the Word of God is who I am in Christ, and that doesn't change. See, I'm a child of God forever. And I may have a tombstone one day with my name and date engraved on the front, but I won't be there because my real life will be with Jesus. And though I have my name on a tombstone here, it won't be a tombstone there. I am alive and well because death can't hold me and the grave won't keep me because Jesus was the first fruits that rose from the dead. And I'm a child of God forever. See, I've got a life sentence, y'all. That's a good thing. I've seen some of you squinky. You've been there, I know. I got a life sentence. I mean, we don't like hearing that, right? We sentence you to life.
What?
That's what Jesus did. He sentenced us to life. I've got life forevermore in his kingdom because the seed he saved me with was incorruptible. It's imperishable. It passeth not away. It's reserved. 1 Peter 1 earlier in that chapter says it's reserved in heaven for me. Look at verse 24. All flesh, it is grass. All the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. The word of the Lord. I don't have to, Gordon talking about this morning. I don't have to worry, church, about what happens to me. However I go, hallelujah, I'm just that much sooner of being with Jesus. Doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter how I go. Lord, I just know when I go, there's going to be a day I take your hand and I cross that Jordan and I see your face and all is well. I'm restored completely, redeemed completely, glorified completely with the body that you gave me, God. Hallelujah. That day is coming for the people of God. That's forever. The news isn't forever. Man, the news can change on a dime, right? Let one story leak out today and see what all of a sudden what was yesterday's news is gone. Let one good juicy story leak out today and see what the narrative becomes. It's all you hear about. When Cam Newton got traded to the Patriots, all you heard about on Sports Talk, right? Cam Newton Patriot. Cam Newton Patriot. It's all you heard. Clearly changed the narrative. Stories change from day to day, but this story remains forevermore. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I don't care what the devil says, he can't touch it. Oh, I feel it coming on. You can't touch this. my spirit is so sad. Oh, anyway, you can't touch this. Oh, I feel my hammer dance coming on, but I'll resist. Oh, my goodness. If we realize that what God did for us is forever, whom shall we fear? Death can't take us out because the Bible clearly says more than one place, if you believe in me, you shall never taste death. It says, if you believe in me, in John 6, you shall never die. We view death the wrong way. We view death as our body giving way, but that's not death. Death is separation of ourself from God, and that never happens for the people of God. Neither life, nor death, nor principality, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor angels, nor any other creature can separate me from the love of God through Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8, powerful scripture of life. You are forever. Look at your neighbor and say, you're forever. Isn't that great? You're forever. So if you married the one you don't like, sorry, they're still forever. You got that kid you're trying to get rid of? They forever. Aren't you glad Don's forever? She said that with such love. Hallelujah. Our battery is dead in our clock. I have no idea what time it is. It says 8:45. I still got 3 hours. Okay. Marty, come on up here and play a song for us. I want you to walk away from this message placing your faith in the Lord. No matter what you hear or what they're telling you or what you're seeing, what the signs of the world are trying to point you to, I'm going to follow the signs of God, not the world. The world don't care about you. They don't really have your best interest. You know that. In reality, they don't have your best interest. But God does. God's got your best interest. And God is definitely for you. Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this little chorus before we go any further.
Lord, I believe in you. I'll always believe in you. Although I can't see you with my eyes, deep in my heart, your presence I find. Lord, I presence I find. Lord, I believe in you, and I'll keep my trust in you. So let this whole world say what they may, no one can take this joy.
I want to ask you something this morning. If you need a faith feel this morning, I want you to come up here and let's pray for a faith feel. Just heard those words come to my spirit, faith feel. Some of you need a faith feel. Your faith needs to be increased. You've had the world drag stuff out of you. You've let doubt and fear maybe zap some of your faith out. It's time for a faith feel this morning to say, God, increase my faith again. God, I want to see you more than I see that. I want to hear you more than I hear that. I want to feel you more than I want to feel that. If that is you, just want to walk up here and let's pray together for a faith feel, that God will fill your hearts with faith today. A faith beyond where you're at right now.
So let this whole world say what they may. No one can take this joy away. Lord, I
before I pray, anybody else? Father, for these two that stand in your presence right now, let faith arise in the name of Jesus. Let your faith arise in these two lives. Let your voice become the voice they hear. Let your hands be the hands they see. God, let you be prevalent in their lives above all the noise, above all the fear, above all the doubts, above all the struggles, above all the pain, above everything. Let faith arise. Fill these two servants with faith, faith, yes, faith, hallelujah, from on high in the name of Jesus. Faith that will drown out everything else, that they will stand up and their eyes will know in whom they serve, and there'll be no doubt that they are your children and you are their God in every situation. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. Give them praise, church. Let faith arise in this place. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Church, we're going to need to walk in that faith in the times we live. We've seen our world change drastically. I cannot believe how things have changed in a few months this year. But God hasn't changed.
That's right.
He's still the God of California, Georgia, and He's still the God of New York City. And He's the God of you and me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Say a special prayer for you. Is that okay? I just want to pray over you, for you and John. That's all right. Father, I just pray a prayer of blessing over John and Georgianne. It's her first time here in many months. I pray, God, for your continued protection upon John and Georgianne's home, upon their bodies, upon their health, upon their lives. I pray for strength. I pray for courage. I pray for power. And I pray for your presence to be felt in John and Georgianne O'Connell. Fill their home with faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We want to pray for Dina's family as well. You're going back today, right? And if you don't know, some of you I know are new. You may not know Dina. Her and her family was here years ago, and they had to move back to stupid West Virginia and leave us. But we love them very much, and they're still very much a part of our lives. And we want to pray a special prayer over their family, over their lives. What grade are you starting this year, Ben? You'll be a senior. That's hard to believe. But let's just...
Santino's fourth grade. Your fourth grade this year?
Yeah.
Fourth grade and a senior. So let's pray for Dina and her family. God, we pray for Dina and her children and all of her extended family in West Virginia. God, we pray for your hands to wrap around them, to hold them, to keep them, to direct their lives. We pray for their future, God, that you order these two young men's steps, that you watch over them and you keep them, that you speak into their lives, God. Let both of them know how much you love them, how much you're for them, and that you are their God. We thank you. We ask for travel mercies. She goes back today in Jesus' name. Amen. Sweet family. Y'all going to be seated. If I can get a couple of ushers up here to receive our offering this morning. And Marge's going to play something really good and motivational. She's not going to pay. Jesus paid it all.
Yep.
No, I'm going to play that.
I surrender all.
That's better. Oh, yeah, I surrender all. I like that. I want to thank Linda for a little gift she gave me. Where are you at, Linda? Yeah, so sweet. You know, someplace we've got to have a mask to go in, and so if they require a mask, of course, I'll put one on. If they don't, I won't. But I do when they require it. So she made me this mask. I'll show it to you. You didn't make it? Oh, well, I take some of it out of it. No, I'm playing. It is very, she got me this mask, and it says, I know you probably can't read it. Melanie Cushy's back here. She's got a good eye. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, Luke 2:14.
So isn't it cool? You want to see it on me?
Oh, my.
I'll be better looking.
Linda White is not always the best choice for him. Just want to say it.
So anyway, thank you, Linda. I appreciate that very much.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Father, we thank you for this word. Thank you for this message. We thank you we have our faith to lean on, that no matter how the world changes, you don't. And God, you're steadfast. You're immovable and unchangeable. And you are our refuge. You're our high tower. You're our fortress. You're our shelter. You're the shadow we abide under. And God, we thank you that nothing can come against your name. Nothing can overtake you. Nothing can defeat you. You are on top. You are king of the mountain, God. And we thank you for that. Bless the offering as we present it to you, Lord. We give it with a loving heart. And we give it in obedience to your word, God. And we thank you. Bless every hand that gives. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. All right, as you play something, come present your offering at this time.
Faith, just a little bit of faith.
Michaels song and made it to a Christian song, did she? Remember the Jordan Michaels song? You gotta have faith, faith, faith. You gotta have faith. Excuse me. Oh, faith. Gotta have a little faith, faith, faith. Faith, faith. No, not pay, pay, pay. Faith, faith, faith. You gotta pay, pay, pay. It's funny. Oh, that's why we have PowerPoints for those of you that can't hear real well. Everybody good? All righty. Member of Von Seal's family, Matt lost his uncle, passed away. This is Von Seal's husband's brother-in-law up in Massachusetts, is that right? So remember her family. And Brenda had a special request too. She's got a friend in West Virginia that needs a touch from God as well. So remember that need up there. I mean, yeah, West Virginia. That's right. Yeah. Remember that need. Who's talking? Oh, sorry. Oh. Bless it. But they got married and got a stroke? Is he an older guy or younger guy? That's sad, I know. All righty. Well, let's stand to our feet. Father, as we go our separate ways, we ask your protective hand upon each one that's traveling and going back home. That you watch over our church family. The ones that are not with us, God, we love them very much. We pray for continued blessings upon their lives, continued peace and joy and strength through this time. We give you praise and honor for being our King and being our Lord. Thank you, God, that we can trust in you no matter what. Our faith's going to be in you moving forward. Nothing else, God, is going to be grounded in who you are. We give you all glory and praise for being our Savior and Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.